Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Senator Barack Obama reached for history on Saturday, standing in Springfield, Illinois, quoting Abraham Lincoln's House Divided speech as he formally announced his candidacy for the U.S. presidency. The tableau was super deliberate. The home turf of the great emancipator of Civil War and slavery days as launchpad for the highest-flying African-American White House candidacy yet.
In the shadow of the old state capitol, where Lincoln once called on a house divided to stand together, where common hopes and common dreams still live, I stand before you today to announce my candidacy for President of the United States of America.
It was a big day and not the last, but here's a point of interest. In the latest polls, Hillary Clinton leads Obama 60-20% among black voters. Up next on Point, it will be a long campaign, but this hour, as it begins, we check in with African-American voters on how they see Obama. We have a great panel with us today. Joining me first from Albany, New York, is Deborah Dickerson. She's author of The End of Blackness and An American Story, a former senior editor at U.S. News & World Report. Like Obama, a Harvard Law School grad, her widely quoted recent essay at Salon.com asserted, Obama isn't black. Deborah Dickerson, thanks for being with us.
Hi, glad to be here.
From Chicago, in Barack Obama's home state, we're joined by Cliff Kelly, longtime host of The Cliff Kelly Show on WVON Radio. He's a Chicago native, spent 16 years on the Chicago City Council, and as plugged in as you can be in Obama's hometown. Cliff Kelly, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Tom.
And from Portland, Oregon, we're joined by Stephen Barnes, NPR commentator and New York Times best-selling science fiction author who's thought a lot about race and the meaning of Obama. Stephen Barnes, thanks for being here.
No, that's great, Tom. Thank you.
It's great to have you all. Deborah Dickerson, you threw the grenade, so let's go straight to you. Obama isn't black. What do you mean?
Well, first of all, let me say I don't mean that as an insult to Obama, and I certainly don't mean it as a rejection of the involvement of non-slave descendant blacks in politics. I don't mean that at all. What I mean to say is that the term black, as it's used, means the descendant of West African slaves brought here to labor. And in not including people like Obama or immigrants from the West Indies, who were also West African slaves, is just to say that that term black is too narrow. It obscures a lot more than it illuminates, and it assumes that any person who comes here who's descended from Africa, we all think the same way, and that their preferences don't diverge from ours. And so far, the politics of blackness has excluded those voices that may have something different to put into the equation. So I'm widely being misread as being critical of him, but I'm not.
Cliff Kelly, we don't want to be stuck on race here, but we don't want to ignore it either or miss an understanding of how African Americans are seeing this incredible young candidate for the presidency. Go straight to these poll numbers. I'm looking here at Washington Post, ABC News poll, January-December numbers. They interpret this way, 60-20. They say Clinton, that is Hillary Clinton, leads Obama among black voters 60% to 20%. I don't know. Begin to walk in here with us, Cliff. What do you make of those numbers, for starters?
I'm very surprised to hear that, Tom, when I saw that. CNN poll also 2-1. African-Americans for Hillary Clinton 2-1 over Senator Obama. I think primarily that might be because he really has not been out there. A lot of people, notwithstanding the phenomenon and all of the information disseminated about him over the press for the past, ever since the convention in your town, the Democratic National Convention, when he made that speech, there are a lot of people who still aren't aware who he is. That would certainly not be the case in Illinois, where, of course, is his home state. As far as my listeners are concerned, they certainly don't question the fact of his ethnicity or his color or anything else. He is married to an African-American woman. Mm. He's got two beautiful children. He's got a great legislative history in the Illinois Senate, most of it dealing with, of course, racial issues such as police brutality, racial profiling, that sort of thing. He was a member of a public interest law firm, passing up a six-figure salary with going with one of the prestigious law firms. He's worked in the community, and I really enjoyed what he said when he opened up his speech on Saturday. Notwithstanding him also being, of course, from Harvard, as Ms. Dickerson is,
right.
He said that when he talked about going around as a community organizer, his quote was, quote, "It was in these neighborhoods that I received the best education I ever had, and where I learned the true meaning of my Christian faith," end quote. Mm. So I think he did that to try to disarm people who are saying, well, you know, you've been in all these ivory towers and you don't really know what's going on in the community.
Right.
That is not the Barack Obama that I know.
There's a lot more we want to learn about Barack Obama in Chicago and the black community in Chicago. But Stephen Barnes, join us here first. You've spoken about Barack Obama's relationship to race and the particular American understanding of race or blackness. Deborah Dickerson says, and you hear her surround for it, Obama isn't black. How do you see him in those terms?
Well, one of the first things to remember is that Ms. Dickerson was very careful in her excellent essay to specify that it was in this particular social and political context in America that he is not black. She was not making that a more general statement. She was, I believe, trying to provoke controversy.
She's saying
and
not black as
discussion.
We've understood that.
As we've understood it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's kind of the universal we.
Yes.
as she and the people surrounding her understand it, or from that particular perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, from my perspective, if I heard about an African immigrant being beaten, I didn't think he's not black. You know, in my perspective, growing up my whole life, I had people telling me, well, this is what black is or this is what it is not. And so I think that each individual African-American or person of African descent has to come to these decisions for themselves. One of the realities of any political process or any process that involves human perception is that people do tend to use labels, and the label tends to obscure the thing itself. And when people say, well, if we say black, if it's not just the descendants of West African slaves,
right,
we're not talking about a unified feeling, a unified perspective that those who are descended from Africans who were never slaves feel differently. Well, even within that community of people who are descended from West African slaves, there are tremendous non-commonalities, the same as if you talked about white voters or American voters. Mm-hmm. So to use these terms for the sake of promoting political comment and discussion is excellent and superb. And it's always important to remember that any term you use, any label that you use, obscures the truth underneath it.
Let me ask you, though, Stephen. Deborah Dickerson says she doesn't mean this as a slam on Barack Obama, but simply to kind of explain, maybe to explain in part, why some African Americans have not, you know, been instantly rallying to his side. There's a lot more here to assess in his agenda. We all understand that. But she said it's not negative, yet there's a kind of negativity in the way some people may not identify with his kind of blackness. You've spoken about how, in fact, his very, non-family lineage back to that slavery and the character that comes with that disconnect, if I'm interpreting you correctly, and please get me right, is actually attractive to you in some way.
I think that it is that you are interpreting me more or less correctly. What I said was that Barack Obama, because he's not descended from slaves, has a different perspective on what it is to be a human being. We've been programmed to a gigantic degree. I mean, you have to remember that the social rules, the philosophical position about what it was to have dark skin was designed to protect an economic institution that lasted for 300 years and then outlived that institution and really only started breaking down probably in the 50s. And black people have been carrying that burden on their shoulders that entire time. Mm. Now, Barack Obama is seen in the same way. If he was pulled over by a cop, he'd deal with the same things his entire life. He's had to explain himself, answer questions about himself. Mm. But his father, instead of being descended from West African slaves, was the product of East African colonialism, which, you know, started breaking down in during the 20th century, really, and in some ways was as bad, in other ways was not, because he has a knowledge of who he is in some different ways than is common for American blacks. If you've been to Africa, you'll notice that although the material poverty is far worse in many cases, there is a sense of knowing who their ancestors are and a connection to the earth and a connection to the mythologies that make them human that is much more difficult and much less common to find among Americans of African descent. And I think that because of that, he is both in the mix of American politics concerning race, but is also able to have a perspective slightly from outside. And I think that that is a very valuable thing. And if I was a young man, if I was in grade school and I saw this man of African heritage speaking with such pride and such clarity about issues that are so painful and tangled, my heart would soar and I would embrace him with everything within me. And I would say, oh, here's a man who's descended from the same genes that I'm descended from, and I would be proud. And I cannot see there being any other than a philosophical position, as a let's get together and talk about this position, and that is important to do, but that separates him from us. On the other hand, I see that embracing him as part of the American body politic is pointing the way toward the future, whereas talking about whether or not he's descended from slaves is remembering and honoring our past, which we must also do.
Let's listen to a little bit of 60 Minutes. Last night, Barack Obama was profiled. Here he is in an interview with reporter Steve Croft. And Croft asks Obama about race and the role it will play in his presidential campaign.
You think the country's ready for a black president?
Yes.
You don't think it's going to hold you back?
No. I think if I don't win this race, it will be because of other factors. It's going to be because I have not shown to the American people a vision for where the country needs to go that that they can embrace.
There's one poll that shows Hillary Clinton is leading 53-27 among African Americans. Right. Are you surprised by that? Are you disappointed by that?
Not at all. I think that there is a assumption on the part of some commentators that somehow the black community is so unsophisticated that the minute you put an African-American face up on the screen that they automatically say that's our guy. A black candidate has to earn black votes the same way that he's got to earn white votes, and that's exactly how it should be.
Barack Obama, as aired on 60 Minutes last night. Deborah Dickerson, he knows how to put his finger right on what's being talked about there. I've got to earn the votes of black people like any other candidate would have to. But to your point, what about the scars of slavery, if we can put it that way, in defining real American blackness? Is it an experience that's necessary to be shared? Is it liberating in some sense that it isn't shared here? Is it necessary to win? I mean, does it relate to these poll numbers somehow? And African Americans not stepping up more quickly to say, yes, he's our guy.
I'm making an entirely different point. I am not saying it keeps coming out as, is he black enough? I'm not saying that at all. I reject notions like Uncle Tom and Oreo and that there's such a thing as authentic blackness.
And I'm really not asking you about that. I'm really not asking you that. But you say black in our political and social reality means descended from West African slaves.
I'm rejecting that. I'm saying that notion, he is the proof that that notion doesn't adequately describe the reality on the ground in America. Harvard has been invoked a couple of times. I just read recently that most of the black students, the people called black at Harvard, are not native born in this country. They're from the continent they're from someplace else. Mm-hmm. And so lump us all into one group it does a complete disservice. And you can't tell, I have no reason to believe that those people see the world and race and their blackness and the role of race in their lives the same way that I do, because we come from such different realities. And I am critiquing the very notion of blackness because it's so restrictive, and it promotes, it's an echo of white racism and white self-congratulation. The critique I have is not of Obama, but of it's twofold, that white people are giving themselves a pass. They're saying we're embracing black people when we're really not. If he were Ronald Washington, third generation from Detroit, with the exact same resume, he would not be getting this kind of love from white people. This is about white self-congratulation. Look at us. We're accepting a black man. But what you're doing is you're not the descendant of West African slaves would have a much harder row to hoe. And on the when it comes to black people, the people I'm describing as black, we have controlled the racial discourse for so long in this country. We have marginalized the views of West Indians and immigrant Africans who tend to be more conservative and tend to have a less of sort of oppositional mentality. And I'm using these terms very loosely because we have not allowed these people to speak. We don't, there's no reason to assume that they're going to have the same sort of political preferences that we do. They're not being heard from. And this is an instance of black people and white people getting together to hold down other groups of white people to keep them from voicing their own concerns.
Cliff Kelly, what about this issue of Barack Obama with his unique history, as Deborah Dickerson puts it, giving whites a pass, making it easy for white self-congratulation, in part because that slavery weight is not on his shoulder? How's that played out in Chicago? Have you seen that?
No, not really. And I want to join Steve in saying that I think Deborah's treatise was excellent. I think our article was. It caused me to think about some things that I wouldn't have thought of ordinarily because I just wouldn't have. Because, again, I was one of the senator's supporters when he first ran for the Illinois legislature. In fact, I was the one who did his swearing-in ceremony. So I know.
You were there.
Yeah, I've been there. I know what he is. So these things that are being talked about, as Steve mentioned, and he is so right, when the police stopped Senator Obama, he's a black man. He's nothing else other than that. That is the reason that he introduced legislation in the Illinois General Assembly that passed relative to racial profiling, where police who used to just stop drivers without even saying that they stopped these people, they could harass them, not give them a ticket, just let them go. Well, now they, because of Senator Obama's legislation, anytime they stop someone, they must fill out a card and mention the race as to who this person was, whether they give them a citation.
So let's
or
see
not.
What the pattern is here. Let's see if
exactly.
there is one.
Exactly. And this is what Senator Obama found out when, he lived it. So whenever anybody talks about this sort of thing, and knowing of from whence he comes relative to his political career, then to me is sort of foreign. But, you know, it's funny because the heat he's taking here in Chicago, Tom and our panelists, is not anything to do with him not being black enough. What he has done is he has supported the reelection of Mayor Daley, who is not of color, of course.
Sure.
And there are two other candidates running who are African American. So we've had people like Reverend Sharpton who have attacked him, saying, well, if you want to vote for him because he's black, why isn't he doing that at home? Well, he's never said, vote for me because I'm black, even though he certainly does not say that he's not black. In fact, to the contrary, as you just heard him on 60 Minutes, he's saying, no, don't vote for me because I have the best ideas. And he says, if I don't win, it won't be because of race. Now, I'm not sure of that. In Boston, as I sat there watching him at the convention, when he says there is no black America, there is no white America, I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe this is the new America that I'm just learning, but I don't believe that. I don't believe that
right.
at all.
But it's a nice thought.
Yeah, it's a nice thought, absolutely. But the other thing, too, I spent time in the building where he made his announcement on Saturday.
Sure.
Because I was a delegate to the Illinois Constitutional Convention. I helped write a new constitution for this state.
Yeah.
But of everything I know about Lincoln, he had one of the greatest spin doctors going. Lincoln was a racist and a bigot. And, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation didn't free anybody, and it wasn't meant to. And so when we start talking about House divided and all that sort of thing, and everybody laughs because I was on, we had a special announcement or special coverage on Saturday, and most of my listeners know how I feel about Lincoln. In fact, I'll be talking about that later today on my own show. So that is one thing that we don't agree on.
But he's certainly a powerful symbol of liberation in this country. We had Barack Obama with us not long ago. I guess it was in October. And in that conversation, I didn't quite know how to get at this. I was trying in my, you know, white boy way. But I asked him if he thought of himself as African-American.
I certainly am an African-American, although obviously I come to that hyphenated identity differently than many African-Americans. But, you know, my life is steeped in America's black culture. Yeah, I live on the south side of Chicago and married to an African-American woman who grew up in Chicago, and that's how we're raising our children, and
Michelle,
that's how I'm...
Is that identity a plus or minus in 2006, 2007, 2008 in American politics today?
Well, I don't know how it plays politically. I talk about the chapter, in a chapter on race in The Audacity of Hope, I talk about the fact that when I was born in 1961, obviously... Race relations were very different than they are now. And I think we've made enormous strides over the last 45 years. You know, the problem is not that we haven't made progress. The problem is that, you know, better isn't good enough. We still have a lot of work to do.
Barack Obama on this show in October. Let's go to our callers. Adam is on the line from Northampton, Massachusetts. Hi, Adam. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm multiracial, and my mother is black.
Yeah.
And I'm really interested in Deborah Dickerson's critique of the notion of blackness, because frequently I struggle sort of internally and externally with the notion of cultural blackness specifically, since I had the influence of a white parent and since my skin is considerably lighter than most black people.
Yep.
And so I just wondered what the panel thought about this idea of cultural blackness and what potentially Obama's campaign could do for that and for the discussion of that, because it's something that I struggle with it.
Your own experience has led you to think about it a lot. Stephen Barnes, cultural blackness and how it fits in the campaign or May.
Okay, well, my mom grew up in the South during the one drop makes you whole rule, and she could have passed for white very easily and felt that by marrying a dark-skinned man and having darker-skinned children, this had really changed her life for the worse in a lot of ways. My sister considers herself multiracial. I've always considered myself black because it helped me to simplify my understanding of how people are going to react to me when I walked into a room. Mm. But I understand it's just a label. It's not what I am. It's something that I use for convenience. And I think that when you look at a man like Barack Obama, who is so bright, one of the things that happens with intelligence is the ability to synthesize dualities and jump up a level. Mm. And to feel caught in the is it a white America, is it a black America thing, is to a certain degree to be separated from a perspective that allows you to float free. Barack Obama has that effect on white people even before they find out his heritage, because he's carrying that inside himself. Mm. And a black man who was descended from slaves, who had the same attitudes about himself, would trigger much the same reaction. The difficulty is in having that perspective. That takes gigantic energy to do that if you are trapped within that American political process. I think it's important to have a discussion that allows us to move beyond these issues, especially for those of us who are trapped within them. This, you know, that political and social reality affects people's lives, millions of people's lives, every single day. But it's not all that we are by any means. And white races love for us to be trapped in this discussion. Mm. They love it, you know, and they must be sitting back and giggling about it.
But Obama, you've described as a way out of that conversation or a way through it somehow.
Because I think that he was given the additional gift in one sense of not having been trapped by it. But his attitudes, it's his software can be run by anybody. You know, our hardware is the same.
Yep.
He's running a different program. And to the degree that you can run that, you walk into a room full of white people without that particular damage on you, and you start getting a different family of reactions from most of them, because most of them are just interested in, you know, raising their families, and if you move in next door, will my property values drop? They don't have anything wired into them to dislike you. They are aware of, do you blame me? Do you hate me? You know, can we work together? Or are you going to keep looking at what my ancestors did to your ancestors? Because Barack Obama doesn't trigger that, he's getting a different reaction. Like I said, even before they find out his history, they know he's different somehow.
Mm. Let me bring another voice in here from Atlanta, Georgia, if I may. We're joined by Gene Meadows, Associate Professor of Political Science at Spelman College. Gene Meadows, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be with you.
We're looking at Senator Obama and the African-American community and the poll numbers, scratching our heads and just, you know, trying to, it's early days for everybody here. A lot of issues on the table, a lot of miles to go. But a lot of African-Americans saying Hillary first, sort of 3-1 in this Washington Post poll. I think you're one of them. How do you think about Barack Obama relative to the other Democratic candidates and relative to his race and your own?
Well, I think that Barack Obama will lose votes because he's black, and I think he'll lose votes because he's inexperienced. And it just seems to me it makes a lot of sense that he should wait until he can at least alleviate one of those disadvantages. I think if he stays in the Senate for a while, he can actually gain more experience. And in my view, most of what he's done has been primarily symbolism. Again, even his speech on Saturday, just laden with a lot of symbolism, although it's good symbolism, and it was very inspirational. The two bills that he has in on the floor of Congress now, again, are symbolic. It just seems to me that he is not well connected politically, that Hillary is really a brilliant woman, and that she can actually do for black people what they need done, and she can also pave the way for Barack Obama, if you will.
So does that means, in a sense, that Barack Obama's race itself is sort of a ways down your scorecard when you assess who you're thinking about supporting?
Yes, that's quite true. Again, I'm very proud of him, like Steve, and I wish him well. And I think in his position, he can say a lot of things that Hillary cannot afford to say at this point, because she does have to position herself within the party so that she has broad support within the party, because I actually see her getting the nomination and not Barack Obama. Again, I do hope that he does well, because I think it will help to politicize a lot of black people who now are not politicized. But again, it's my feeling and my thinking that Hillary is actually the candidate that blacks should support at this time, because she's very well connected, she's experienced. Some people call her experienced baggage. I think those are just her distractors. She is experienced, and she's very well connected, and she can actually get a kind of political agenda that blacks can rally around.
Gene Meadows, thanks a lot for joining us.
Good to be with you.
Let me go to Pete in Attleboro, Massachusetts. Hi, Pete. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I mean, your guest sort of touched on the point I wanted to make earlier, and that is I think the reason that the disparity between Obama and Hillary Clinton as far as the numbers go is because a lot of blacks don't believe that he's electable, because, I mean, despite what a lot of people say in this country, you know, about, you know, racism matter, we still live in a country that sees things based on race, regardless of what kind of education you have. I mean, a lot of people tell their kids, get an education, the sky's the limit. Reality is, race still matters, no matter what part is, no matter what your accomplishments are in America. So my thing is, even though Obama is a very intelligent man, he has a lot of positive things to say. As a matter of fact, I like the way he responded to the Australian Prime Minister when he opened his mouth and talked about Obama wanting to bring the troops home.
On Iraq, yeah.
You know, their troops are somewhere in a safe zone, not being killed.
Right,
you know,
right.
So it's easy to say, you know, let the men get shot when you're not involved. But I think the main issue here is that a lot of people really don't really see they can get elected because, once again, it's the skin color. And that's unfortunate, because I think right now we need some bright people in office. I mean, a lot of these people that consider themselves bright and seasoned politicians, as opposed to Obama, who they say is not seasoned, they all voted for the war.
Yeah.
Pete, we
hear it. Deborah Dickerson, what about this issue of electability and skin color?
Well, I have to say, I'm really insulted by the white confusion over blacks not running out to vote for throw their support behind the first black person they see. I guess I just never cease to be amazed at how low the world's opinion is of us. We haven't survived in this country in this harsh racial environment for 400 years without understanding strategy and without understanding. I don't think blacks are not supporting Obama because we don't think he's electable. I don't think
that's what Pete just said. That's why I'm asking. It's not so much confusion, but Pete, he's black and he just raised it himself.
Well, but I disagree with Pete. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's that we don't. That might be part of it, but I think it's more of a more of a positive, that it's more of an affirmation that Hillary Clinton and Senator Edwards, who's been spending these last 4 years really shoring up his relationship with the Black community, we believe at this point, and we're 2 years away,
sure,
we believe at this point that those people can deliver the goods for us. And Barack Obama has the next 2 years to convince us that he's that guy. And if he convinces us of that, we'll vote for him. But we didn't support Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton or Shirley Chisholm with our votes through the primary process. I think in the 70s with Chisholm, it might be because we knew she couldn't get elected. Mm-hmm. But if we think these people are going to bring home the goods for us, we'll vote for them. And Barack Obama just sort of has come out of nowhere nationally. Obviously, in Illinois, he's well known. Mm-hmm. And Black people, we're waiting to see if we think he can do what we want him to do. And so far, we believe that Hillary Clinton and Senator Edwards so far can do what we want done. So Obama is, our vote is his to win.
A lot of voters of all colors watching with experience and sophistication about who's got the chance to do what they want done, as you say. Cliff Kelly, how do you read the ambivalence, I guess, of Black political leaders like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton about Senator Obama?
First, let me suggest to Deborah that Jesse in 84 and 88 got quite a few delegates, but one thing he certainly did, he brought out a lot of voters and allowed a lot of African elected candidates to be elected locally. So he had great coattails, where somebody said Sharpton didn't even have a coat. So, you know, it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And I liked it. And his speech was the best in Boston because they let him off the leash. I mean, they said, yeah, go on and do it. However, I think that it's so interesting to me because in his hometown, the white press has attacked or carried articles about the church that he belongs to. He belongs to Trinity United Church of Christ,
right,
which is just a wonderful pastor, Jeremiah Wright, Dr. Jeremiah Wright. In fact, the senator's book, The Audacity of Hope, is actually the title of a sermon that his pastor gave.
So what's the problem people have with his church?
They have attacked the church, Tom, because their mission is to for Black empowerment. And they're saying it's exclusive for white people.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Which so now, you know, either he's not Black enough or he's too Black.
Right.
So it's just an amazing thing here. But back to your question, I think that, as was mentioned by Deborah, it's just going to take time. He's going to be out there for whatever this phenomenon is. I think he's going to do well. A lot of people, Deborah, that in my audience here and in other places that I know of, don't look at Clinton as the first Black president. In fact, when you think about, you know, the changes in welfare and NAFTA particularly, I was on a show last night where these people would never vote for her, although she voted against CAFTA. NAFTA has done a great harm to a lot of people, and of course Clinton was for that. There's a number of things that people don't feel that he was that great for the Black community. Now, I think there will be some changes here, Tom, as time goes on, and as we see what this man has to offer. As far as your original question about others,
Jesse,
not being
Al Sharpton.
Yeah, Gwen Ifill said something I thought was very interesting. She said, they just haven't received an invitation to the party.
That's all it takes? Why wouldn't
they're
Barack
a little
Obama
upset.
Reach out?
Let me tell you something. If he continues what he's doing, they'll be happy to join. They'll have to.
If the rocket ride goes on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's go to North Augusta, South Carolina, and Tracy. Hi, Tracy. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
We're very well. What do you think, Tracy?
Well, first, I just want to say, it's either at this point in time for anybody to become president. I mean, we're at a critical point in time, especially considering foreign policy, whether you be Democrat, Republican, Black, or white, and whoever gets our vote, the Black America or the rest of America, we think about. I'm a little bit nervous.
But what
we're thinking about is we want somebody to be successful and not have a lot of problems.
The country needs it right now.
Right, coming behind the Bush administration, I want to tell you what I'm hearing from the Black community, and I've even felt it myself personally.
Mm-hmm.
I felt that for Barack Obama, if he becomes president, coming behind all of this mess of the Bush that President Bush has made for us in foreign policy, and he becomes the first black president, I mean, he's got a lot of work ahead of him.
No kidding.
Him or Hillary.
Whoever it is. Mm-hmm.
Now, right. And when Colin Powell was selected as Secretary of State, I remember telling my friend, you know, the Bushes, I don't agree with their foreign policy. They don't have a foreign policy, his father or the son. And I just felt like it was sad that Colin Powell was going to get the blame for whatever this president has.
So, Tracy, let me ask you then, as a black man, are you concerned that if Barack Obama would win, he would have to take on that freight? And if it was hard, if he failed somehow, that would be imputed to his race somehow.
Exactly, exactly. And because, you know, he's the first black president, and then it's like, oh, wow, look at that big mess. The load of trouble he might inherit.
Let us pick it up. Stephen Barnes, how about it? A little dread there at what Barack Obama, or for that matter, anybody else may have to pick up after George W. Bush.
Or, on the other hand, you know, he might look incredibly good in comparison.
Yeah.
I mean, there's always, sure. You know, is it heads or tails?
It's
upside. A coin, you know?
There's the upside.
I think that the black community's reaction to Obama largely is that Hillary Clinton is a brand name. It's a brand name we've known for, you know, half a generation. And, you know, Obama is very, very, very new. He's going to have to prove himself. We need a man or a woman of vision and intelligence and courage right now. I'm going to wait for the debates. I want to hear their platforms.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see what they have to say. I really love what's happening right now. All I really want is a firm hand on the tiller and a vision for where this ship is going. And if that hand is a woman's hand, fantastic. It's the 21st century. And if it's a black man's hand, fantastic. It's the 21st century. And if it's a white man's hand, well, we've been there before, but at least the country is safe. I just want something good, and I think that often white people look at the black community as being monolithic, but then black people look at the white community as being monolithic too. That's a typical way for human beings to look at each other. And there's nothing unusual about that. They're not singling us out for that.
Mm. Let's go right out to Iowa City, where Barack Obama was yesterday. Mary's calling from Iowa City. Hi, Mary. You're on the air.
Hi. You know, the problem is there's too many good choices out there, and blacks are in a holding pattern. But we got to remember what Martin Luther King said. It should be the content of the character, not the color of the skin, and not the lineage of the genes. I add to that lineage of myself.
Yeah. So what do you see in the content of the character of Mr. Obama, Senator Obama, in your town yesterday?
Well, he was on the other side of the state. But I'm still confused. I like Edwards. I like Clinton. I like everybody. But what I'm going to have to base my final vote on is the one who does that public religion stuff does not have my vote. I'm like, God is dead because he killed me. And I agree with everything your guest said. And I'm in total confusion.
And will Obama's race put a finger on the scales for you, or is it just straight up don't care? It's all about where the others come down on the issues and their electability.
Yes, but the religion is going to be the cut, because this is why we're in Iraq now. We got a religious war going on, and I don't want no more public religion. I don't care how much I like Obama, how much I like Clinton, how much I like Edwards, or whoever else is in the ring.
It's a needle to thread for anybody out there. Mary, thanks very much for your call. Let me get a call from Arlington, Massachusetts. James, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
It's a very interesting subject. I'm an African descent, actually, and I was just quickly flipping the article Gary wrote on the Saloon. My opinion is the comment, basically, it's Americans should not really choose their candidates, you know, based on race. They should be based on the agenda that American people are interested in. And again, about being black, I cannot say to the governor of California, he is not white. So it's completely a normal way of relying how to elect a candidate. And another thing too, you know, no one has the right to determine who's black and who's not black, because you can say who's African American, who is not African American, but you know, you don't have the right to say that, because the name black, you did not name yourself black since you grew up. Or
right.
You can say that black African descent have not shared the culture, but indeed they have took a lot of burden as soon as they landed to this country as an immigrant. And when you walk to the street outside, when you walk out to the street, no one will tell you that that's that guy or that lady or that person, he is African-American or he's black, but you call black. So we should be careful in really, you know, shaping our politics and shaping, because Barack Obama, actually, he is right now new or fresh, and lots of African-Americans still haven't knew and haven't really learned so much from him.
Like a lot of the country, so there's a lot to learn on all sides. Let me get one more call here from Hamden, Connecticut. Aya, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom. Hi. Hello, panel.
Hi. Hey, Aya.
I've been very interested in your discussion so far. I myself am a West Indian living here in America, and I've been actually a permanent resident for many years and was prepared to continue to do so until I heard about Barack Obama's race. I've actually started to consider getting citizenship in order to vote for him. That's how excited about his campaign I am.
That's pretty hot. So what's drawing you so hard, his race or his positions?
I think both, frankly. Mm-hmm. His positions, I was very impressed with his speech at the Democratic National Convention. I'm very impressed with his ability to be so candid about his past, about his race. I really think he's a very impressive candidate, and I have to thank Ms. Dickerson for her comment about the fact that West Indians and blacks from the continent really haven't had much of a voice in the debate about race in this country. It just seems that in terms of your discussion about Barack Obama and his not having that baggage of being a descendant of West African slaves, I myself am a descendant of West African slaves coming from the Caribbean. I'm a Barbadian.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also that we don't have the baggage of being a minority. I was never a minority. Yeah.
Right, so that experience is not part of your history. Yes. Aya, thanks a lot for your call. Deborah, how do you think this is going to play out? If you can look ahead, you know, to when that we really get down to brass tacks here, is race going to grow or shrink as an issue?
Race already looms so large, I'm not sure how much bigger it could possibly get. I'm wondering if we're going to see those 12th hour, excuse me, it's very cold up here.
Yeah, we heard. A lot of snow, too.
Yeah. That the 12th hour Harold Ford racist Playboy ad, those really low blow
like
racist attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And
call
they waited
me.
Till the very. Mm-hmm. Right, right. I wonder if I do think. And this relates to what the caller from, I'm sorry if I got this wrong, but I think Iowa said.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the content of Obama's religiosity is going to undergo serious scrutiny because I think that the right is going to want to use that as a wedge. And so I think.
Saying he's not fundamental enough.
Or that it's racist. You know, the church that he goes to, and this is all sort of late breaking news, and mm-hmm. we're going to be seeing a lot more about it. They're really looking at the content of the work that he's done in the inner cities and the work that's being done through that church. So the people on the right are going to be working really, really extra hard to discredit him. And I think that race is going to continue to be of significance because I think his enemies are going to be trying to find every way, and I just mean his political enemies, are going to be trying everything they can to discredit him.
Cliff Kelly, last word goes to you in our 20 seconds today. How do you see it? As it comes closer to the wire, we've got a lot of time. Race will grow or shrink as an issue with Senator Obama.
Tom, you mentioned earlier, is race an inescapable factor? It is. I think he will get more people involved as he makes speeches and so forth, as Steve mentioned. But also, race will always be there.
Well, we've got a lot of issues we'll be diving into with all the candidates, Barack Obama included. But we appreciate each of you jumping in for us with a kind of starting line today. Cliff Kelly in Chicago at WVON, thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you, Tom. I enjoyed it.
Stephen Barnes in Portland, Oregon, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Tom.
And Deborah Dickerson in Albany, New York. Thanks for being here, Deborah.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is On Point.